Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Larry Monkey, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 187 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will, but we're going to be fancy for a second real quick. We're going to be fancy. Since we are a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Hold on. Let me straighten my tie, sit up straight in my chair. If you haven't already heard, DLF will once again be running our annual Black Friday Cyber Week sale. And this year, it's going to be our biggest sale ever. Starting immediately after Thanksgiving and running through Friday, December 3rd, you can get a full year of DLF premium access for $15 off the normal annual membership price. That's just $34.99 for a full year of industry-leading analysis, rankings, tools, and community from the most experienced Dynasty site on the planet. Over 30 analytics tools, most comprehensive and informative Dynasty trade analyzer in the business, and the best Dynasty rankings anywhere. This is an incredible value that will pay dividends all year long. So don't miss out on this chance to get the best deal of the year on the best Dynasty site in the industry.
Fantastic. Ooh, prices are insane.
ELF's pod overlord makes everybody do that, right, Russ?
I'll pretend it was me doing that. Yeah, let's pretend it was actually me doing that. Yeah,
okay.
That wasn't, you know, the people that actually get the money when people subscribe. No, yeah. That was definitely me. I felt very professional. Felt very professional until I screwed it up. I was like three quarters of the way done too. Because the thing is, in my head, I'm like, yo, I think I might do this. Ah, no. Overconfidence.
The arms going and everything, man.
You were I was selling the crap out of that.
Best of it was like a Crazy Eddie's commercial, man.
You know? And then he actually went crazy. Oh, you know, who'd have saw it coming? All right, well, okay. So I titled last episode, something along the lines of "When will the madness end?" or "Let the madness end," or something like that. No, "When will it end?" The answer? Not yet. This week was awful. Oh my! Like, I don't care. I'm complaining. I know my pinned tweet is "I care about your fantasy football team." I know no one else cares about anyone else's fantasy football team, but I'm going to complain about mine for a second. In Trade Addicts 2, first of all, yes, it is mandatory. I say Brian Hart beat me in the championship by 0.39 points. Because
I had no idea, Russ.
I know it's the first time I'm telling anybody about this, that because they had to bench Josh Allen one drive too early. And I came in this year like there's actual rankings, easy favorite, you know. Yeah, I had a very good team. I was crushing it in the beginning. And this week I had to start Matt Breda, Latavius Murray, and James Washington on one team, on a team that is leader in points. I believe I'm in second place, actually, but still, like I'm just that's the team I had to roll out, and I lost, of course, to a team that was in this has the same record as me, so I'm going to drop below them too. But like, okay, it's a little bit of my fault that I have Daryl Henderson and Cooper Kupp on the same team. So yeah, a bye week's going to come, but Juju, Ridley, like the amount of in 1 week, it's just like, no, stop this. This is crap. And then just like, the madness isn't over yet, guys. I mean, we're getting back to it. It seems like the studs are doing
something. I was just going to say, the injuries are killer, but at least some of the studs are scoring now. Like, you saw Jefferson going off. And
Jefferson,
Adams, Eckler
crushed it.
Eckler, yeah. JT.
Oh, JT. Oh, man. It's funny. There was a time where I was debating whether I was going to have JT or Najee Harris as my running back one going forward. And I kept saying, the Colts just keep like using Nyheim Hines for no reason whatsoever. They don't anymore.
No.
JT to the moon. JT running back one. Okay, so I'm going to stop complaining because, you know, we have a guest and I've been talking for God knows how long and he just said his name and hasn't said anything else. So how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Thanks for having me. Very excited to be back on the Trade Addicts pod.
How's Zach doing, Larry?
Oh, he's happy, man. You can see he's, you know, he's looking good. He's got a nice smile. His pearly whites.
If you so chose to patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, where you can watch us live as we're recording this, you would see right behind Larry Monkey's head is a giant freaking Zach Wilson head right behind.
Right on this wall.
Right adjacent to his head. So like if he were to just turn his head, he'd be kissing him in the cheek.
That is true. Look.
Yep, there it is, right there. Screenshot.
Ah, woo. Dang it.
All right, well,
I'll have to practice that more.
Like you don't when the camera's off. No judging.
While the camera's on, I meant I have to practice.
Judge-free zone on the Trade Addicts pod. It's all good, man.
Yeah.
So,
digging it.
You know what? We're just going into the news because I don't know what else to do. Like, I am so... like stressed out is the wrong word. Maybe I'm just bummed with the way this season's going.
Wait, can I interrupt? I thought I was going to come on and you'd be just exuberant and super pumped because you just pulled off a major victory.
It's really funny.
Dynasty Trades HQ 16 teamer.
And it's really funny. Yes, I beat Manolo in the HQ listener league, HQ1 listener league, the original, the OG, if you will. Yep. And I beat a team. I think I'm in third place. I beat one of the teams that's ahead of me. And the reason I beat them is because he also happens to have Daryl Henderson and Cooper Kupp on the same team. And they were both on bye this week. So I guess to be fair, it balanced for me a little bit. And yeah. I think I just like spent all of my energy complaining about my TA2 team that I don't know if I have exuberance in me anymore.
Wow, you gotta focus on the positive, man. You're crushing. You have a shot, man. You're gonna be I mean you're easily a top four team, and this is like it's rarefied air when you win this league. And I would know, of course
you would know. Yes,
but yeah, man, I'm it's gonna be interesting to see how this league shakes out. A couple heavy hitters up top. You got the timeline guy.
Your Josh co-host Palatin thinks he's winning it, doesn't he?
Well, everyone thinks they're winning it. My co-host, yeah, the Dynasty Hot Sauce Pod. Come check us out. Justin Rogers, sometimes host on this show too, right?
Mm-hmm. He's our B guy.
Yeah, and he's got a monster team in that league as well. At Run DFF, and then you got at Real Fantasy TL. Josh Valentin, he's up there. So it's a lot. This is a good. Good league of guys, and Outhouse is right up there, man.
You know who's not up there? You know who's not up there?
Who's not up there?
Any of the HQ guys? I mean, no, to be fair, Shane is, and what's actually amazing about that is he finished last season, I think, in last place. I don't even know if he had his own pick. He probably did, but
yeah,
he turned that around fast. Like, he went from like, I'm not going to win a game to I'm bored. Let me compete now. And all of a sudden he's in like fifth place. It's just like, and like convincingly, like not like lucking into it.
Would you do this trade now? So I traded him. I made a big trade with him. not too long ago where it was I gave up Alvin Kamara and James Robinson, and he gave me Saquon Barkley at 23 first and a 23 second.
I mean, yeah, because Robinson's worth a first and Kamara for Barkley in a second, sure.
Yeah. So I made that deal because I'm a rebuilding guy. But would you do that deal now with both of those guys kind of banged up, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you were the deal is the same. I mean, the question is, would Shane do it now with Kamara missing time is the bigger part. But yeah, no, I don't see on your side.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still great for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm just talking about in general, just from any angle of it, because, you know, Kamara's, I mean, they just signed somebody else recently.
Well, Ingram, they signed even before Kamara actually got hurt. But
you think he's banged up more than they're letting on?
I think now that they have Ingram, they're probably, well, the fact that they have Ingram now and the fact that they're not doing well, that they'll probably let him rest more because, I mean, Kamara, he's not going to, like, fall off a cliff anytime soon, you know.
Yeah,
he's gonna have a role on that team for as long as he wants to have a role on that team, so they might as well let him rest, and I think that's the way they see it.
Yeah, just an observation. I was thinking about this deal, and I'm like, I wonder if Shane would make it now with two guys, because he's going for it too in this league. So you know, so right now he's got a banged up James Robinson and Kamara's just like sitting on his bench. So it's you got to make the deals when you need to make them, not, you know, because those guys get hurt. Next thing you know, you got an injured guy because you but made the deal.
Too also soon. Came on because Saquon got
that's
hurt.
I was just going to say when he did it. Yeah.
Because you were just throwing out James Robinson and I was trying as well. But then you're just like, no, wait, got this big boy deal from Shane. So someone's going to have to come tough. And I'm just like, I can't do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I am a rebuilding. It's been fun, man. It started out, I got the Dobbins. Once Dobbins got hurt, I was like, you know, I'm going to start making some deals, and because there's some powerhouse teams here. And instead of trying to kick and scream the whole way through the season, I was like, you know, then Irv Smith got me. And I was like, you know what? I have some pieces that I can really build for the future now, pick up some young guys. And so I downshifted, should be back in business in 2023.
Maybe it's your fault. Whenever you trade someone away, they get hurt. Because you also traded me Hopkins, and he hasn't played since.
So speaking of James Robinson, I recently in a league I'm heavily contending. I'd currently be the one seed. I actually traded Justin a 23 first for him, and I got killed in the poll on Twitter. I'm curious what you guys think of that. No, it was like 87-13 for the first.
I think that's exactly what you need to pay for him right now.
That's what I thought.
What was the first? The 23 first?
It was a 23 first.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's in 2 years. James Robinson, you're going for it all, just some insurance, or is he going to be plugging him right in, or is he just like a guy that you're going to for bye weeks? And
No. Yeah, he's a guy I'm starting. I have Aaron Jones and Hopkins who aren't playing right now, so he's going right into my lineup.
So perfect, yeah. So, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. I don't see nothing wrong with that. He's the only one running the ball. Now Agnew's injured, so you know, maybe – he might see an uptick in targets. Who knows? Who's going to step in that role?
People still just hate James Robinson. And I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because especially now that we're so stuck on the 22 draft being terrible, I think that's going to boost the 23, whether it deserves it or not, which I hear it does actually deserve it. So people hear that. And plus they think, well, James Robinson is only for this year. And you and I think otherwise anyway in the first place. And even still, who cares? I don't care how good the draft class will be in 2 years. I will trade away a first 2 years from now to win this year.
Yeah. That's the way I think about it, too. Like, even if it's a better, you know, the people treat those 23 first like they're gold.
Yeah. You know? I mean, depending on where you are as a team, if you're where you are in a rebuild or where you are contending or if you're almost there or not, you may, you know, you're going to view James Robinson differently. You know, where is he going to be after this season? Is he going to go back to that role where ETN comes out and no one knows what the hell is going on and everyone's talking about James Robinson, you know, like the first game of the season where he didn't really get on the field that much? But I don't know. He's the bell cow now, and people need to understand that. And if you can get him for a first, why not? At this point, if you're making a run, hell yeah. You know, who else is getting the ball in Jacksonville? They really have nothing going for them except for James Robinson.
That's where I was. I was thinking he wasn't going to take it for just a first, actually, because I remember you talking about it on your pod. You were trying to get anything on top of a first for James Robinson.
Yes, and didn't want to sell. Which is why he rejected mine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
especially in a 16-team league, and you know, especially because also assuming I am a top four team, that puts technically out of a 12 teams first round pick, and you're talking a 12 team league. Yep. So yeah, especially when you're talking about what would be pick, you know, maybe 13, 14, 15, even right. though we're calling it a first. It,
exactly.
Most more like an early teams. Second. Yeah.
Like in a league like this, a 16 teamer, I traded three firsts for Joe Mixon a couple of years back, but it was really 3 seconds
yep.
because they were all post the 12th pick in the round. So
man, you got to get worse people's firsts, not better first right. for you, but not better people's first.
Right. So like the Dynasty Madman, for instance, I singled him out. I'm like, I'm going after that first. That's a top five first. And he doesn't know it yet. He still thinks he's, you know, the Dynasty Madman. I'm going to snap my fingers and be in the playoffs. And I just looked at his team and I'm like, his team sucks. And there's no way he's going to win. He's no way. So boom, right away, his trajectory is like top five, is like the fifth pick now. Just because you line up these rosters, he's not beating him. So there'll be a big matchup between me and him in a couple weeks. And I've kind of got rid of a lot of guys on my team. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that roster position is important when you're trading for picks. It's where's the pick going to land? Is it an early first, mid first, late first? You know, even that second rounder is in an early second. If it's going to be a top 20 pick, that's not too bad. You know, sometimes in some cases.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Ugh, trade strategy. Why are you talking about that?
I don't know, man. We're on a trade podcast.
Are we? No.
I mean, I was looking at the show. What? Show,
hey, it is actually in your DMs right now, so now you can't complain about it. 5-10 minutes ago, you could have complained you did not have the show sheet, but Rocky sent it to you now. Speaking of the show sheet, hey, news has happened, and we already started talking about the Jags, so let's roll into that. Wide receiver slash kick returner Jamal Agnew will miss the remainder of the 2021 season with a hip injury. I mean, I feel bad for the man in general, but I'm just glad targets aren't going to go to Jamal Agnew anymore. Like, yeah, go back to giving them to Visca and to Marvin Jones and Dan Arnold, and let's get going. I mean, again, this a guy that came out of nowhere, a guy that, unless you picked him up off the waiver wire and were weird enough to actually start him, you were just annoyed that he was taking targets away.
He was actually half decent in trade addicts leagues.
Yeah, with the returning.
He got return yardage. He was scoring double digits for you.
Yeah. So my question is the anti-Peter Howard question. Where are those vacated targets going? I know, was it actually a listener question?
Yeah.
Well, okay. No, we'll talk about that afterwards because that seems a little redrafty. So Visca has been terrible, and Marvin Jones has been the past few games not great. Okay, I'm going to take this to a completely different angle. Is Trevor Lawrence bad?
No.
Like, this is, I am in my head completely okay making excuses for Trevor Lawrence for probably through next year. Not going to lie. Yeah, you know, a dude that has been so touted as the greatest prospect since Manning, like completely overpassing Luck, I guess. Or I guess we just forgot he was in the NFL because he retired too young. But I'm trying to find a good way to ask this without sounding like a jerk about it, though I already just asked if he was bad or not. So, okay, Larry.
Yes.
You have Trevor Lawrence on your team, and you thought you were rebuilding, so you had that one-on-one, you took Trevor Lawrence. Your team's doing weirdly well for some reason. You had Jamal Agnew on your team and stuff like that, and you're scoring points. So you're like, I think I want someone who is scoring more consistently, or let's say Trevor is your wide receiver three and you just want to get some picks so you can move them to something else. Would you take an early and a mid first for Trevor Lawrence right now?
Two firsts for Trevor Lawrence. No, I would not do that.
Rocky?
In a super flex? Like a 12 team.
12 team super flex. Yeah.
No, I would not take two firsts for Trevor Lawrence. I'm not jumping ship just yet.
I mean, I agree. I'm not jumping ship just yet. I don't think I would take that either. I'd want to get a little more. I will say I did in one league where I have him, I did trade him. And maybe this is trading him for two firsts, but I traded him.
Player wise is a very different question.
Yeah, I traded him for DeAndre Swift.
What?
Oh,
that's I might have gotten a little plus. I can't remember, but yeah,
that's pretty even in general anyway. But
yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, well, Trevor Lawrence is what he's getting like 7 points, you know, like his last game or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's tough sledding right now, but you drafted a rookie quarterback. You didn't draft, you know, you didn't pick up. It wasn't like a Stafford to the Rams where, you know, he's killing you that way. You got to give him.
That is, I mean, you're being rational about it, and I don't appreciate it. I mean, of all the people to take the rational stance, it's really weird that it's you. But. Because I am absolutely willing to blame this on Urban Meyer. I'm absolutely willing to blame this on how poorly the team is run and how poorly it is put together. But I was curious if either of you guys would say yes to sort of turn it around to be like, is it time to go buy Trevor Lawrence? But yeah, I don't think anyone's jumping ship just yet, even though I think there's plenty of frustrated people out there. But the real truth is what Larry just said. He's a rookie. If you drafted Trevor Lawrence and hope he was going to help you win, that's bad process. But I drafted Trevor Lawrence and I want him to score points and he's not doing it. And that makes me mad.
Yeah. I give rookie quarterbacks a ton of leeway. I mean, I think Peyton Manning threw like 23 interceptions his first year or something like that. So I don't know that I give him as much as pass as you into the second year. I need to start seeing a little more in the second year, but, unless you're Zach Wilson, I'm willing to give you a pass on your.
Hey, man.
unless it's confirmation bias, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's because you guys have been making eyes at each other the whole time we've been here.
Yes, that is exactly. You could tell exactly what Rocky is staring at, and it is right into the eyes of Zach Wilson.
Yes,
but you got to remember. Hold on, the Jaguars. This is like what did they win one or two games last year? This is a terrible team, you know, and they drafted a running back in the first round. You know, they could have like patched another hole with an important part, like a guy in either side of the trenches or something, or even another. They could have had Elijah Moore. They could have had, you know, a lot of different, they could have had a lot of different weapons, but, you know, they chose to have a silly draft and, you know, ETN got hurt, so it's a safety valve that, you know, a familiar safety valve that he doesn't have. You know, they were former teammates together. So, you know, they got him Dan Arnold, and boom, instantly connects. They found someone that he has some kind of connection with. So, you know, he's making Dan Arnold relevant.
Until this.
You just traded. I just traded him to you, so.
And then Bagel, yeah.
But still, I mean, yeah, you got to, I mean, and it's the coach sucks, so you just got to give. You just got to get out of this situation. All right, but so yeah, I'm holding him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I assumed that was going to be your answer, but I was just if one of you gave an answer I wasn't expecting, I would explore it a little bit. Oh. So we have a question at Jorge Martin 17 with Agnew going to IR. Is Chenault worth the pickup? And this is why I assume it's redraft because no matter how poorly Chenault is doing, I don't think he was dropped in any dynasty leagues. Okay, but let's answer that question. Yeah, why not? I mean, I know in redraft you have shallower rosters, but drop your second tight end, drop your second defense, drop your second kicker. If it's a one QB, drop your second QB.
If you were rostering Jamal Agnew. So,
there's definitely someone you could drop for someone that has the potential upside that Visca should have if they were somewhat intelligent to use him the way they should.
And not only that, but I mean, I was thinking about this. I've heard people say that they finally found someone to fill that sort of Percy Harvin role for Urban Meyer and Agnew. And they thought that was going to be ATN. And then it sort of has been Agnew, but everyone's always thought too, that Chenault could sort of fit that role, that he's a guy who could, you know, run it out of the backfield, like some of these receivers do, like Debo and things like that. So he could take some of that Agnew role. It makes a lot of sense. So yeah, I would have no problem picking him up in redraft.
I don't know.
Do you have any strong feelings? Does this, Larry, make you like either Arnold, Chenault, or Marvin Jones for the rest of the season in Dynasty probably, more?
Yeah, I'm probably ranking them Arnold, Chenault, well, Jones, Chenault, right?
I think so. I don't even know.
I mean, he loves Jones. He's, I mean, Jones is the only one that's kind of emerged, right? Well, Agnew had that little steady increase after a while. But, yeah, I don't know. Dan Arnold came on the scene. These guys aren't going to – they're not going to blow up weeks because none of them have. They're just giving you, like – it's just like having a kicker. You know, you're just in a best ball. You know, they're just like – you get those – you just get kicker – they just, they're just getting you kicker points. Like, no one's – they're not – you know, you're
someone
not
is
winning, they're not winning your weeks right now. You know, they're not scoring points. You got to wait for the you don't want any Jaguars on your team, really.
Someone is staring and screaming at their phone. Kickers are people too. Kickers are better.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna move on. Which one? Oh, I already deleted it. Okay, which should we do first? Let's get the sad out of the way. Chris Carson is undergoing disc fusion neck surgery. That sounds terrifying. I'm going to have to assume this man might be done with football.
I believe Peyton Manning had this type of surgery.
And how did that go for him? Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. That doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't know. Like that... Chris Carson never held any value, no matter how well he did in the NFL, just because low draft capital. And even though once or twice the Seahawks tried to draft someone ahead of him, he kept winning the job and no one ever gave him any dynasty value, though I did trade a first for him to Rocky. Ooh,
wow.
And that did not go well for me this season. Another one of the reasons I'm just doing terrible in fantasy this year. Are you guys into anyone in the Seattle backfield right now when Pete Carroll is still screaming from the top of his lungs, we have to establish the run? Are you into Travis Homer, Alex Collins, or DJ Dallas at all enough to like make a move now that we see Chris Carson's probably not coming back this year?
God, no.
Just
no.
The unless whole offense looks,
unless it's like a 13 start.
Yeah,
team in a league where you got to start a bunch of guys, and you know, you hope Collins falls into the end zone.
Yeah, Dallas was the guy that fell into the end zone this week, but yeah, I completely agree. For a team that wants to establish the run, they did not have any depth whatsoever to establish the run, which would make you think that they're just going to let Russ throw the ball, and they're not going to let Russ throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the whole offense has been a mess for a little while, and we thought maybe it was Geno, but I mean, Russ, what, they scored 13 points in two games since Russ came back. Combined, it's really bad out there right now. So and Collins has maybe had one half decent game all year. So I have no interest in the other guys. So
yeah,
that neck
Gerald Everett, maybe. I mean, you know, on the pat, you know, the free agent acquisition. Russ seems to like throwing to him.
I'll never ever trust a Seattle tight end.
Really? And you're the Seattle guy. You're the Seahawk guy, right?
Yep. And that's why.
You didn't like Gerald. You don't like Gerald Everett as like.
I like him as a player. The Seattle does not use tight ends in any way that is good for fantasy. All right. Let's move on to something that's going to make me and Larry a little sad. Michael Carter suffered a high ankle sprain and will miss 2 to 3 weeks.
Yep.
I bought big into this guy in the beginning of the year. Well, I guess both dynasty share wise and just into the player himself. So this hurts a little bit coming into week, 12 that we're going into now? Because we're hitting that time that, well, I guess assuming your league pushed back the playoffs that 1 week because there's the extra week this year, you're in the playoff push now, and he's a running back, so chances are you shouldn't have him on rebuilding teams. So that hurts a bit.
Yeah.
Who are there other running backs now anymore?
Ty Johnson.
Yeah. You know, Tevin Coleman's still out there. He's healthy. Michael P. Ryan's kind of been inactive the past few weeks because I guess they haven't needed him. Maybe they'll bring him up, get a little something out of him. But I think it's going to be more Tevin Coleman until he gets hurt and Ty Johnson. So there's another – this is, you know, the team's
– it's exciting stuff there.
The youngest youngest team in the NFL, so – they have just a ton of young guys, and I don't know. That second overall pick, I think they're going to be locking that in pretty soon.
Would you? Okay. I have Larry here. I mean, we can't talk capitalist pigs trades because they mean nothing to the world.
Unless you're in.
Because I've been trying to get Carter off him for a little bit, but like, let's talk regular leagues. You have Michael Carter on your team.
Yes.
Would you sell him for a first?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you sell him for a second?
No.
Two seconds?
Because I think he's worth a first right now.
Okay, so a first is like the line. Seconds. You'd sell him for 2 seconds, Rocky?
Yeah. I think he's worth a high. I think I'm a little below Larry. I think he's probably worth a high second because he has shown a little bit. But he's a guy we drafted in the second, and he's not. I don't think this guy ever is going to command a full time role. Even though I like him and I like the talent, but I just don't see him ever, you know, commanding a backfield. He'll always be at best, like a 50-50 split kind of guy when they get another running. I mean, right now he's competing with Ty Johnson, so it's more than that. But if they ever draft another running back or bring even just maybe a more established guy than Ty Johnson, and I definitely don't think he's going to get as much work even as he is now, even though I like the talent.
I pulled so many LaMichael Pirine shares this offseason because I figured that would happen. And I'm like, all right, I'll take the other 50% of that. That did not go well for me. I mean, thankfully, I didn't pay more than a third for any of them. But still, whoops. Can't win them all. All right, because sorry, Larry, I don't really want to talk about the Jets for all that long. We're going to move on.
No, I get it.
Larry doesn't even want to talk the Jets for all that long.
All right, so Atlanta's Calvin Ridley is eligible to be activated off the non-football injury list this week, but Falcons head coach Arthur Smith said today that he had no update on his standout wide receiver who stepped away from the game to tend to his mental health, which, in case you hadn't noticed, I am just reading off a tweet. That is not the way I speak words. That was a Schefter or a rap sheet tweet or something. I have two things to say about this. I'm glad he can come back whenever he wants to now. I'm glad that there was no statement. Because that is not Arthur Smith's thing to say. You know, if Ridley wants people to know, Ridley will tell people. So I don't, this is not news. It's just something. And I wanted to talk about Calvin Ridley because I love Calvin Ridley. I still don't think we should expect him to play this season, though. Again, there is zero knowing. Like he could hear this show right now because I know Calvin, you're my boy, you listen. And he can be like, no, you know what, Russ? I'm ready. Let's go. I'm going to play. And honestly, I wouldn't see it coming. Like there's no reason to believe he's going to show up tomorrow ready to play. So there's no reason to automatically, you know, since he's able to come back, there's no reason to start to go buy him or anything just because of that. But just because it's something where if he were to get activated, he could just come back and play. I figured it was worth saying out loud. Have either of you done any Calvin Ridley deals lately?
I did, and I can't remember. It was Ridley and a late first. It's my first for Mixon plus a couple minor pieces that could be. I think one of them was actually Jamal Agnew.
That's actually pretty fair value for what Ridley should be worth.
Yeah, that's the only one I think I've done recently is that one, and I was pretty happy. But I lost Henry in that league as well, so I really needed a running back. I think I'm second in the league in points, but a lot of it was on the back of Henry. So I'm still feeling pretty good about it. Mixon's looked really nice since I made the trade a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, the aforementioned TA2 team with the aforementioned Brian Haar, he put Keenan Allen. Wow, I can't believe I just blanked on Keenan Allen's name. He put him on the trade block, and I first sent a 22 seconds, which I knew was going to get rejected, but I had to try. And then I sent Calvin Ridley for Keenan Allen and Cole Beasley. I really thought this was going to get accepted. Like, I thought that was slam dunk, and right. He rejected it. He's rebuilding, and I get it. Calvin is a wild card at this point because we don't know anything about him. And he's, 26-ish, in the 26, 27 area already. So maybe he was just avoiding the age and rebuilding. But I was a little shocked that got rejected. I'm not going to lie.
I just aside, you can take a 26-27 year old receiver to rebuild. I'm sorry.
So. You 1000% can, but yeah. I was making excuses as to why he didn't take my deal and traded Keenan Allen to someone else.
I just can't stand the age better. Thing with the especially receivers. He's going to be 27. Oh my God.
Yeah. But the problem is so many people do think like that, that it actually does hurt their value.
Yeah. I mean, to me more. Yeah. The issue is obviously technically he may never play again. So yes,
but, that is the big,
yeah, I could care less that he's 27.
The age year. Thing was always following him around right out of college.
Well, he was an old rookie. Yeah,
he was a 24-year-old rookie. Yeah. I think it was. I mean, so was McLaurin, to be fair. And
right,
no one really brings that up nearly as often.
Yeah,
sons of people holding stuff against my Calvin Ridley. Okay, so we're just going to move on because there was no reason to really talk about it. Now there's two good things of news. Well, I don't know. Is Courtland Sutton getting a 4-year, $60 million extension from the Broncos a good thing? I don't know. Is it, Larry?
It doesn't hurt. I mean, they just locked up Patrick. They locked up Sutton. Judy's got a few. I mean, they're locking in there. They want to keep their guys. They want to keep their core. You know, I think it's good for the organization, but is it good for fantasy? It hasn't been thus far, not this season. I mean, there a lot might have to do with the ACL. I mean, Courtland Sutton coming off a torn ACL. He doesn't seem to have a connection with Teddy Bridgewater, which, you know, maybe the next guy will have a connection with him. You know, if they draft somebody, or Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers or whoever knows who's going to be the quarterback for them. I don't think it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. So, I mean, Sutton hasn't really done much this season, because I think everything I just said kind of, you know, comes together to make that the reason why he's just not involved enough. I mean, when him and Judy are on the field, it's Judy gets a majority of those targets. So I don't know if you need a Judy injury for Sutton to be relevant, but maybe
they would speak that into existence.
You just got to hold the fort. You know, he just got signed to a big deal. That's cool, because he's not going to be like an Allen Robinson journeyman guy. You know, I think all the Broncos, they've been waiting on just that quarterback. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, but to me, it's only a good thing if locking all these guys in attracts Rodgers there, or some other quarter, maybe Russell Wilson or something. But I didn't like it at all, because I was hoping he'd get out of Denver. Because like Larry said, when they're both on the but going into the season, I was a Sutton guy more than a Judy guy. I thought he was going to be the alpha. But Larry's right. I mean, when they've both been on the field, it's been Judy well over Sutton. So I don't like it. I think I don't know what they're doing. Like I said, I assume this is because they're trying to bring a quarterback there. But spending, not only that, they locked in Tim Patrick for a whole bunch of money. It's like $11 million a year deal. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, once that happened, I thought Sutton was gone, and I was kind of happy about it that he was going to get to go somewhere else.
And, well, the best ability is availability, and Patrick's been the only yes, healthy wide receiver. So you want to keep him around at least.
Yeah. See, I knew, like, this is why I really wanted Drew Lock to start, even though I knew in my brain, I knew it wasn't going to happen, though in my heart, I wanted it anyway. Mm-hmm. Because they want to run the ball, they want to slow down the offense, and they want someone that's not going to lose the game for them. And the problem is Drew Lock is kind of that guy. And Drew Lock is the guy who will close his eyes and throw the ball really far to a guy who's in double coverage, because Courtland Sutton will catch it anyway. Teddy Bridgewater is not that guy. He had to be a little bit when Judy was out and you had Tim Patrick and Courtland Sutton. But exactly what we've seen, the second Jerry Judy was healthy, Jerry Judy's getting 10 targets and Courtland Sutton's getting 2. So I was actually pretty worried about this when it happened. And I keep what Larry said is what everyone is saying. Like, they're just that next quarterback. I don't think it matters who the quarterback is. I think it's because that's the game they want to play. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept Bridgewater another year. You know, they want to get their defense. They want to play by defense. They want to be, you know, slow. They want to slow the game down, run the ball. And I hate it, because I love Courtland Sutton, and it's not looking good for him.
The whole offense is like, it's not oiled. It's not like an well-oiled machine. You know, you got Gordon stealing touches from Javonte, and, you know, Fant's always, you know, not playing. And so you got Albert O, and then that's kind of, you know, who's the tight end, and I don't know.
Yeah, they got too many good players there. Not good for fantasy.
Yes, right.
They don't have, and because you don't have someone that can support all of them.
Correct.
Know, throwing the ball.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just, it's something that happened, and I guess we needed to talk about it because it's something that happened. Because that's what you do on podcasts, right? So this one is giving me hope. Logan Thomas is expected to return to practice this week. I have so many teams with this man on it that I am ecstatic about this. Will he do well? I have no idea. But I'll be able to have an actual starting tight end in my lineups.
We're all happy for you, Russ.
Yeah, right? There's nothing to really talk about with this.
Good for you, man.
I needed some good news, and that was the best I could get. So I went with it. All right, well, we only have one more listener question, so let's ask it at Bingy_3.
Steve Treble.
Yeah, sorry, Steve. I don't know how to say your... I've known you for like 3 years at this point, but I still don't know how to say your Twitter handle. Players to target with your late first on a contender. So, oh wait, where's the button? I lost the button. Oh, because I have to, man, you know, you'd figure once you start becoming the podcast overlord on DLF that they would let you stay logged in and you wouldn't have to click the login button 6 times. Hmm. Yeah, but no, here we go.
Ragtag operation over there.
Right? Yep, right. Okay, so I pulled up the ADP for November because that's what month we're in. And actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. We're going to go to the trade analyzer. That's going to make things a little easier because you can pull up values and we can find a late 22 first. So let's play Brian Hart's favorite game of the Trade Addicts podcast. Which would you rather have? A late 22 first or Brandon Ayuk?
Take the first.
Yeah, give me the first.
Ayuk has 2 games of being pretty involved. I still don't know if I send a first for him, but he's getting back there.
Well, the problem with that is he was just so destructive early in the season to fantasy managers. You know, I had him, and it's just like you play him once, and you don't want to miss the game that he can. You know, so he's constantly screwing you week after week, and that takes its toll. So there are folks that I would take a first just to get out of it because I don't want that Dante Pettis, Kyle Shanahan with Ayuk.
What happens if he looks at Shanahan sideways again or something?
Yeah. I don't want to deal with that. I'd just rather start over.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Love Ayuk though.
What about Kadarius Toney? He's back and healthy and has 7 targets so far this game.
Does he have 7 targets?
Yeah, I mean, I just looked it up, and that's what NFL says.
That he's turned into 4 for 21.
A 22.
That's not important, Rocky.
A 22 first.
Late 22 first.
Late 22 first. I'm not. I think I'm holding on to my first. I mean, everyone saw like one or two plays of Toney, and they're like, "Oh my God, this guy's the best receiver in the world." But he hasn't produced anything really. It's just he's just twitchy on the field that turns everybody on.
And Mike, correct Williams. Me if I'm wrong, but I think the question was kind of implying as a contender, you know, a guy you're sending your late first for.
No, yeah, but I still
think. I just don't trust Tony's production for the rest of the year.
All right, I'll go to more people definitely scoring points. Well, I mean, not definitely anymore, but Mike Williams, he has that ceiling. We've seen it, and he finally broke his 2-catch-for-20-yard streak.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
If you're going for it all now, they have a great playoff schedule, the Chargers. So take that into account. And you might want to spend a late 22 first. If I'm the Mike Williams guy, am I getting out on Mike Williams? Because
people are absolutely willing to sell Williams for a first right now. I can't speak for you specifically, obviously.
Well, no, Larry, my partner, Run DFF, Justin Rogers, has said, we had this guy on this topic, and he's like, I was like, yeah, Mike Williams hasn't been himself. And he's like, no, Mike Williams just turned back into himself.
Yes. I know that that's what he believes, but he could be as wrong as he wants.
Right, right, right. So I don't know, man.
I don't know if I could bring myself to do it. It's just he's too volatile. I don't trust.
I would need something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a little James Robinson. Sweetener. Yeah, I'd do for Robinson for like 22 first. Yeah, there's the running backs are kind of there's only a few of them in the early part of the draft, rookie draft.
I did it for first. I would do it for 22 as well. So.
Yeah, right. That was pretty easy. Okay, even if it's not premium, what about Mark Andrews?
I would even if not premium. He's like
in premium. I don't think you're getting him for late.
No, I don't think so either.
I would do that. I would do that because he's a set it and forget it tight end. So you don't got to play that game, you know?
Okay.
Revolving door. What about AJ Dillon?
I'm not sending a first for
no, because you're. That's what you would have to, but I don't think I would just because I'm worried what happens when Aaron Jones comes back. So he's not missing the rest of the season or anything.
Yeah, he's only out a couple weeks.
Darrell Henderson?
No.
I would.
Pretty easily.
He's consistently scoring in the mid to high teens, if not more. So
yeah, I mean it's a rental though, because he's not gonna be Darrell. I mean he's been mediocre really this year. I mean he's just gonna be what's he going to be, the same guy next year? Like,
he's
meaning
been
getting
better
all the
than
carries?
Mediocre.
Has he been?
Okay, let's go in the other. Yes, he absolutely has been.
I wanted to ask you because there, I had a name in mind when I saw this question. I'm not even sure what he's worth right now. Miles Sanders.
Is he was at, I skipped over him. No, I won't trust it. He's actually next to Mike Williams. I skipped over him.
See, I like Miles Sanders, and I'm usually the anti-Eagle guy, but. Their schedule coming up is really nice too. They got the Jets, they got the Giants twice, they got the football team twice, and they've been running the ball. They ran 50 times. I mean, a bunch of those were Jalen Hurts in the last game, but they still had like 30 plus running back runs, and they've just been running the ball like crazy ever since. I think.
Since Sanders got in the first place,
but they still did it when he came back, and he was getting more than Howard last week, and Howard's banged up now.
Yeah, Howard's going to miss time. I mean, I think he's sprained MCL or something like that.
And I'm sure Boston Scott will be involved, but Sanders was still clearly the lead guy. Jordan Howard got a lot in the second half when they were up. I mean, he was mixed in early too, but when they were up by 23 points or whatever it was, he got a lot of carries then to kind of just like the guy to take it home. But Sanders is going to do work there. And I love the playoff schedule. And this is the lowest he's probably ever been, like the cheapest you could ever get him. So yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah.
Sanders is a great pick, man, because like you said, Howard's hurt. He's definitely going to miss this week. And Sanders, there's a lot of GMs that are just out on Sanders because of the just kind of the same boat as Ayuk. I mean, you're talking about somebody for a league winner. Those are, you know, Sanders is going to get all they're doing is running the ball. Maybe they figure themselves out where before the injury, maybe they hadn't figured themselves out as a team. And now they know they want to be a running. They want to
ran it like down the throat of the number one running defense in the league. This is what they're doing now.
Yeah. So Sanders will now be the guy to just take back that. I mean, and to make Gainwell inactive. I don't know if he was injured or anything like that.
He wasn't injured. It was they just wanted the other three guys.
Okay. Yeah. I like Sanders. He's got potential. He's got the draft capital also. Yeah. I think that's a great late round dart throw that could get you some points.
Adam Thielen.
Yes. As a rental? Like we're talking about pretty much a rental, throwing a late first for a rental. I think he's perfect. Another perfect guy because you're going to get him. And everyone's been saying he's going to be washed up for the last 5 years, basically, it feels like. You know, it's always sell Adam Thielen, but he's constantly produced as well.
Well, this goes into why you said no to James Robinson. It's the exact same thing, just in a different position, which is why I thought I was being clever here in asking the question. It's, you know, what do you value more, what you see as a rental and a wide receiver, or what you see as a rental and a running back? And it's really funny because me, who hates running backs, I'm more Well, I believe in both of Thielen and Robinson, but I'm more likely to spend a pick to trade for a running back who's scoring points, because chances are I already have wide receivers who are scoring points on my team, and I don't have a running back who is scoring points on my team. But like Thielen, it was really just the question of, do you think that he's still worth it at this point, or would you not feel like you want to send a first anymore for Adam Thielen? Because I think that's where a lot of people are. And I, like you said, ever since he went on that like 8-game streak of 100 yards and a touchdown or something insane, whatever that streak was, where he got boosted to like dynasty wide receiver one, he's been getting the Larry Fitzgerald treatment. Nope, he's gone. And it's just like with Larry Fitzgerald and with Frank Gore, I stopped trying. I'm never going to say that anymore. No one is ever gone anymore. Just like, nope, this is the year the Eagles let Zach Ertz walk. Oh, they extended him again. Nope, Zach Ertz is gone. They extended him again. You know, finally, thankfully, this year, Zach Ertz is gone and they extended Goddard. So there you go. Yeah. Except now they're going to draft a tight end in the first freaking round with one of their ridiculous picks and just make me throw tables and stuff like that. But no, that's exactly like, I really do like the idea of grabbing Adam Thielen, and I would send my late first for him.
Yeah, Cousins loves him. Jefferson's taking that number one corner.
And weirdly enough, like we think of the Vikings as being such a run-heavy team. There's plenty of targets to go around for both Thielen and Jefferson. Also because they don't have a tight end to throw the ball to.
Right.
So that helps them.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully Irv Smith will I've been trying to move Irv Smith, but he's pretty much a hold these days.
I've had people try and move Irv Smith to me, and the thing is, I was a very big Irv Smith fan coming into the season.
The fact that they didn't try, they
brought in Chris Herndon, who they like just, I think he caught one ball and it was for a touchdown this year. Good for him. But they haven't even tried to put someone in a tight end spot, which leads me to believe they might just not care about the tight end position.
Yeah, I don't know. They play pretty well. Cousins is an efficient passer, so they have the quarterback in place. I mean, who knows where Cousins will be next year? But we're talking about this season, and if you want to, you know, get that league winner, there's no better guy than Thielen.
Okay, well, I think we ran the course on that question. So let's go to our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1, but it doesn't matter because there's no TA1 trades and there's no Jamal Agnew anymore. So it just doesn't matter anymore. That's a lie. Someone did trade for Deontay Harris. I just didn't put it on the sheet. And he also does pretty well because of the return yardage.
I think that was me, actually.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was Deontay. No. It was. Oh yeah, no. You are in seven. Was it you that did that? With
traded a third for him. Yeah.
Good for you, man. All
right. 12 points this week. Woo!
But let's go to Trade Addicts 2, the trade I talked about where I did not get Keenan Allen, a 22 first, 22 second, 23 second for Keenan Allen and Cam Newton, which, I mean, it might sound like a bargain right now, because I wanted to talk about Cam Newton, which is,
yes,
I'm pretty glad this happened. Like someone, I don't remember who it was or where it was or anything about it, but someone asked me, like, is Cam Newton Cam Newton again? And right away I'm like, well, not MVP Cam Newton, but he looks all right. Like he looks better than last year.
Yeah,
like,
did you see that pass to McCaffrey? That was a dime.
He couldn't throw the ball last season, and it was very noticeable that he can throw the ball now.
Yeah, like he apparently did just need that time to heal, or he just needed to stick it to the Panthers and be like, you wanted to get rid of me? Okay. You know, like that kind of thing. But yeah, he might be, again, we're talking about a rental, I guess, which is why his price is still a little shoved down. But for the rest of the season, if you can get Cam Newton for a second, which I kind of feel like is what happened here. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. So let's break this down. What's Keenan Allen worth? Apparently to Brian, it's more than a 22 second. So I'm going to say it's either the 2 seconds for Keenan or a first and the later second for Keenan. And then the 22 second for Cam.
Yeah. The way I looked at it actually was the first for Keenan and then the 2 seconds for Cam.
That's kind of what I did too.
And I would pay 2 seconds for Cam. That's the kind of move I love to make. I think he's going to produce for fantasy. I mean, he's going to run. I think he had a rushing touchdown this past game. He's going to give you points, and I don't care that he might not be there next year. So I'll pay 2 seconds for a guy that could potentially help me win my league this year. And like you said, I was in the Cam is washed camp, but I didn't watch the whole game, but I saw parts of it, and yeah, he looked good. He looked good throwing the ball. So I'll take Cam for 2 seconds, and Keenan for first, if I'm competing, is easy for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, this is unfortunately a pretty good trade, and that makes me sad because I wanted Keenan Allen, Brian, and he didn't give him to me.
It's really fair, though. I mean, if I'm not competing, I would probably take that other side as well.
Yeah, no, yeah. Again, unfortunately, very good trade. Just like this next trade. Yeah. AJ Brown for Travis Kelce straight up. Now, I'm very curious to hear your guys' perspective on this one.
1.75, right?
1.75. Kelce has not been the Kelce of old, but he is still the tight end one. Hold on, let me pull it up. Yeah.
He's got some crazy games. He just has a couple of not crazy games.
He's been a lot better than AJ Brown. Games.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, yeah.
But AJ Brown obviously is also only what 23 or whatever he is, and you've got years of AJ Brown to come.
I still think we got years of Travis Kelce to come, not gonna lie.
It's all right.
Everything is the context of my team and where I'm at, this and that, just the face of this deal. I think I want AJ Brown. You know, he's like a top three wide receiver in all of Dynasty.
Will he be after this season?
AJ Brown.
He's banged up again.
You think he's going to get hit with the injury label?
And not productive when he isn't. He has two very good games. Other than that, he does not really have a good game.
See, I'm an ageist, so it's hard for me to.
So the old man sitting here is an ageist.
Yeah.
I think we finally have someone older than Rocky.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, look who's behind me here. It's actually my birthday is actually tomorrow, as a matter of fact. There you go.
You're going to be 74?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
64.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I'm not taking Travis Kelce unless I'm a player away, or unless I can move him after I'm like out of the playoffs, or you know, if I don't make it, I don't know.
Honestly, I'm not an ageist, but I struggle with this one as well. I love AJ Brown, even though he hasn't, you know, produced what we expect this year. He's a beast. He we know he can be a beast. We've seen it in the past. I think I would rather have AJ Brown. I don't know if I had Travis Kelce and someone offered me AJ Brown that I would do it, but in a vacuum, AJ Brown's just the value is going to be better, and I think the production's maybe not this year, but it's going to come, and he's a wide receiver one for a while.
And I know we're flirting with like the overall point score in a 1.75 with Kelce, right? You know, isn't
no,
he like
not overall.
20?
He'll be the,
like,
he'll be the like pass top... catcher. Last year, he was the pass catcher one.
Yeah. Okay, that's kind of, yeah.
But there were QBs and RBs above him.
Gotcha, yes. Oh, RBs? There was a couple. There was RBs? I always think in terms of like the diagnostic, the DDCL, Dynasty Diagnostic Champions.
No, that's tiered, so it's a little different.
Oops, okay, that's why the tight ends are so jacked up in that league.
Even this year, he is currently 10 overall. That includes quarterbacks.
Okay.
In Trey Addicts scoring.
Yeah, last year he was the seventh.
Seventh overall?
No, he was the seventh overall, and no, he was the skill position one in at least 9 points per game.
Right, so you're kind of knowing that.
No. In overall points, in points per game, he was underneath Adams and McCaffrey because McCaffrey played three games and got 30 points in all of them.
Points per game, he drops to 17 this year.
Yeah, overall. But in regular just points, he beat Kamara by 11.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, because, you know, you're always thinking of that with the 1.75. And, I'm in a couple leagues with the 1.75, and I cannot move like guys like Hunter Henry and who's the other tight end I had? I had Troutman who's starting to emerge, and now I just got to put him back on the shelf. But, like, there was a point last season where Hunter Henry had more points than Keenan Allen in a 1.75. And it was just like, dude, these tight ends are money in this in this format. So
man, we talk about how Kelce is you know, he isn't what he was last year, but even in total points, not points per game, he's currently the position player three.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, that's what's silly about it. He's not what he was last year. He only has like 8 points per game over the tight end two instead of 18.
Right.
And honestly, it's not anything he's doing. That offense is just struggling a little bit. And while that does play into his value, I think it's really weird that it's being held against him only. Because no one talks about Hill's value. No one talks about Mahomes' value dropping at all.
Yeah. Well, you drafted, well, in redrafts, Kelce in a lot of places was a first round pick. And you want your first rounder to come, you need that consistent production in order to cash in.
Okay, so this trade, if you hadn't noticed, the way I worded it was me, and actually with Brian Haar, who is known for drafting Travis Kelce in this format in the first round. And I was honestly a little surprised he took it, but I was glad he did, because I knew he was rebuilding, so I sent him the young wide receiver. And it really just is, I want to win this freaking league. That's really all this is. Like, I was sad to send this away, but I wanted to score points. I now have Waller and Kelce, though the rest of my team is, like, falling apart. Oh, James Washington, Matt Breda, and Lat Murray. Those names are going to be burned into my brain. I could win this league, and, you know, week 11 of 2021 is going to be in my brain forever for having to start those guys. But, yeah, like, and I sat here staring at this mostly because I still have Kelce as my tight end one, even though I know it's the wrong answer. Let me just say it that way. I get it. I get Kelce at tight end one is the wrong answer because of how far ahead Pitts is in everything else, you know, in rankings and in trade calculators and trade analyzers. Pitts is way ahead. I don't care. Travis Kelce is still my one. I don't see him slowing down in the next 2 years. There's no reason to think, and I'm not going to think more than 2 years out in the future. And when I'm so that's why I'm like, okay, I see this guy who's rebuilding. I have AJ Brown, who should be a top 3 to 5 dynasty wide receiver. And while that's cool in the off season, in the non-point scoring season, we are in the point scoring season. And it just, it hurt my feelings to see AJ Brown healthy and still on my bench, because I like, my team is actually decent with depth, and I was starting random like RB2s over him because I couldn't trust him, because I couldn't trust that passing game, because Ryan Tannehill likes throwing to Marcus Johnson.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the guy's first name, like, who, of course, pulled a hemi this week and gave people Westbrook a bagel after.
That's Patrick, man. Yeah. Like six catches, I think. Right.
So, like, I did this, and I didn't feel great about it at first. But I'm like, no, screw it. I'm getting points this year. And even if AJ Brown doesn't miss another game for the rest of this season, Travis Kelce is going to outscore him. And even if AJ Brown doesn't miss a game next season, I still think AJ Brown will score less points than Travis Kelce.
Oh yeah, for just this year, that's a smash. This year and next Kelce.
Year. This year and next year, I think.
Yeah, even next year. Yeah, I agree. I think so, Kelce.
And that's why I talked myself into feeling absolutely fine about it. Of course, I lost this week, and that doesn't help at all. But all right, our last trade, which was also me. I hate my Trade Addicts 9 team. I
love mine.
Yeah, I know. And like, coming into the season, I loved mine too. And then I lost 3 tight ends, Juju, Ridley, Chase Edmonds was doing well for me, and he's on the IR now. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I am complete. Like, I was hoping the outhouse challenge I did for TA9 was going to help me blow the team up, and it didn't. But I decided to do it myself. I traded Kyler Murray and 2 22 thirds. For Tua, Travis Etienne, and I got my 22 first back. And it is very important to state that it was my 22 first, because if I blow this team up, I'm middle of the pack right now. And I have finally now slipped out of that point of getting the 6th seed for points, which makes me pretty happy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, there's 2 people now that have more points than me. And No, one guy and another guy's only like 20 points away, and I'm only putting up like 80, 90 points a week. So, yeah. And plus, I still have Chubb, Zeke, and Mike Evans, who just scored another touchdown that I'm going to try and move again. And
I need to find a way to get one of them.
You have a way to get one of them. You just don't want to do it.
Well,
I was trying to get Kyle Pitts off of him just because I thought it'd be fun to try and get Kyle Pitts, and it is just as hard as you think it would be.
Well, we're talking like a first-round startup pick next year, Russ, so.
This ain't next year, buddy. This is right now. So I guess objectively, unfortunately, I broke the Trade Addicts rules, but screw it. This is my show. I'm giving context to a trade, even though we're not really supposed to. What do you think about sending Kyler, who is a young quarterback who, let's face it, like I don't think you should be holding these injuries against him long term. I don't think this is a thing. I think this is just bad luck. I think this is them just holding him out until the bye week, because they're not doing awful, but bringing him back, you might as well be safe with him. And if you think you're making the playoffs, you might as well have him healthy for as long as humanly possible. But what do you think of Kyler for Tua, ETN, and what I hope to soon be an early first? Larry doesn't know what to say, so he won't.
You want to go, Larry?
Well, it's pretty. I'm taking Kyler. No brainer for me. How many start? How many starters? 10? 11? 10? Yeah, in a super flex?
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding Kyler or getting more for him. I mean, I'm not a big Tua guy. I think Watson will be playing another potential destination for him. Tua could potentially just be floating around the rivers of the NFL with Sam Darnold, you know. I don't know. Kyler's playing in that Kingsbury offense. All they do is throw the ball. He's got that rushing yardage too. He could be the QB1 after the season. Well, actually, not with all these injuries, but not with what's he got an ankle. So I don't know if he's the potential to be a QB1. I think if he stayed healthy this year. Then yeah. But I mean, you traded a couple of thirds. I mean, I think I need more on the draft capital side.
We don't even know what ETN is yet.
You know.
Yeah, he got the first back to him. He's trading to the thirds with Kyler.
Yeah, the thirds are on the Kyler side.
We're on your end. Yeah. So early first, ETN, and Tua.
I mean, that's three firsts for Kyler.
Yeah. But it's Kyler Murray, you know. He's we're talking about the QB1, QB2, and all of.
I'm absolutely with you. Before all this injury stuff, I was saying we're getting to a point where I think it will be personal preference between Mahomes and Kyler.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. You know, Kyler can come back, show that he's absolutely fine, ball out, and I still think, but especially now with Mahomes not being indestructible and having some bad games, we might have a three-way pick your poison ABC of Mahomes, Kyler, and Josh Allen.
But I mean, ETN's coming off, was it a Liz Frank injury?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Tua who has a history of injuries. So I'll give Kyler a pass on the sprained ankle. Does he have a concussion? Is he dealing with concussions as well? I guess they all do at some point.
No, but, not that I know of.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know. I just like the offense he's in. All he does, I mean, that's a high powered offense. I mean, they're a winning team as well. Versus the uncertainty of Tua, and ETN hasn't proven himself at all. Love the early first, of course. But I think I would want a little bit more proven players in order to seal that, just to make that an even Kyler Murray deal.
I think the value is pretty fair myself. Yeah. I mean, a high first, likely, you know, assuming you keep selling these guys off, and two is worth at least a first, and ETN is probably worth a late first, early second. So it's maybe not. I mean, I don't know what people are paying for ETN because I'm not trying to buy them, but but it's pretty close to three first if it's not quite there. So I think getting that for Kyler is fair. I like Tua more than Larry does. I still think he can. He's never going to be Kyler. He's never going to be, you know, in the running for QB1 or probably even QB5. But I think he can be a QB1. And I think people are still judging him a little too harshly. He's played pretty well this year. You know, when he's been healthy, the only issue has been he's gotten banged up a couple times. So,
right.
Yeah. So I still like Tua. And we know, I know Russ, you know, my feelings on ETN. So I would probably rather have gotten a different player, but you know, that's what you got. I'd try and flip him, but I think the value works out fine. And we all know, I have to say this every time we have a quarterback trade, this is the kind of trade I would generally like to do, is breaking down Kyler into multiple pieces. I just would rather have a different piece in ETN, but the rest of it I like.
And this hurt doing this, because this is the league where I traded up for the 101 and 103 and took Mahomes and right. Kyler. But I was just so angry with this team that I couldn't take it anymore. I will put it out there, I'm a very big Tua believer. So I was absolutely happy to take him. And plus, this was the team that had my first. So this is the team I had to get that first back.
It's huge. Yeah, getting your own pick back is always the cherry on top of the trade sundae.
Yeah, and I figured ETN would just be an easy get because he's not scoring points right now, so I might as well try and get him. And I think
if that was, say, Dobbins, I would have liked it a lot better.
I would have liked it a lot better.
Yeah, because you've at least seen him, you know?
Yeah. No, but also, it's just like you guys said, like, am I going to actually care about ETN on my team? No. But, like, the second he starts with those videos of him running and stuff like that, maybe if I can get a late first for him in the upcoming draft, I would absolutely do it.
I mean, if it all works out, it's a great deal. If all three players turn out to be great, that's awesome. But I mean, like three question marks for Kyler and a couple thirds or whatever, which way it was. But I just like the certainty of Kyler Murray versus the uncertainty of the other three. I guess Tua is kind of certain. I don't know what to make of Tua just yet. I still don't think the Dolphins are done.
Okay, so if you take away this is really tough to do because Tua had a game where he had 0.65 points. So it sort of screws up his average points per game. But 19, 25, 31, 18, 14, 21. Are you sad about that out of your quarterback?
I'm not sad about that at all. It's not, those aren't Justin Fields numbers by any stretch. But you know,
Wilson numbers.
They're not Zach Wilson.
What did he get? Hey,
there's no negative in there.
See, we talk about Tua and look at Zach, man. He's just
yeah. I think it's one of his worst games. I know the game he got hurt, but I think the second game against the Bills was one of the lowest games you said in there, probably too.
But also, don't forget there was that 13-point game I said where he came in for the second half of the game.
Yeah. But I was just going to say the Bills have pretty much stopped like every quarterback from a fantasy perspective this year, pretty much. So I don't even hold that one again. I don't know which game that was of the list you said, but no, I'm sure it was one of the lower ones.
I'm absolutely in on Tua. I think if it weren't for him randomly getting a freaking bruised rib and crap like that I mean, people would
It's like one thing after another, you know. I mean,
so you're the guy that called Keenan Allen injury prone, is that what's going on? Torn ACL, and then
Keenan Allen was injured like his first year, and then I don't think he's ever missed a game.
It was one thing after another with Stafford early on too, and then he played 100 games in a row.
Right. Yeah,
Frank Gore was injury prone.
Phil Sims,
who?
Phil Sims.
Who?
He's the old man on the pod talking.
I mean, dude, I grew up in New Jersey from my dad, who's from Brooklyn. I know who Phil Sims is.
Oh, I know Phil Sims.
Yeah, I mean, I say like that, like he told me stories. I was alive and watched football when Phil Sims played.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah, so no, I was not thrilled with this, but I was still happy. Like I walked away from them like, all right, cool. No, this is the start.
Yeah,
this is what it's going to be.
No. Like I'm Rocky. Ready. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just like Rocky said, there were just players that I'm not into, you know, like ETN and Tua.
So the players I got. Yes.
Right. That's pretty much.
If you just got players that weren't the players you got.
Yeah, if you got the different players.
I only disliked one. Larry hated both. So.
Well, besides the fact that I hate both of these people I'm talking to right now, that's the end of our show. It's the end of our show. It's a little bit of a quick one this week, but I got nothing, man. I am wiped out from the annoyance of this season. So I need a show that is under an hour and 40 minutes.
I know, but it's funny. We went an hour or so, and that's a quick one.
Yeah, damn straight. This is a short Trade Addict show when most shows like are apologize for going over an hour.
Yeah.
All right, but thank you, Larry, for coming on. I hope you had fun. And why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
Good times, man. Thanks for having me. And I host the Dynasty Hot Sauce podcast. Find us at Twitter. Not at Twitter, but at Dynasty Hot Sauce. And Larry Monkey, FF Larry Monkey. Follow me on Twitter as well. Go to Facebook. Got a Facebook page, Instagram, all the socials. All that good stuff. You'll find us. Drop an episode a week, just around an hour.
Yeah. And, one of the most fun podcasts to listen to.
Oh, there you go, man. Outhouse has never been a formal guest. Actually, you made a cameo one time. We had Casey Kasem on one time. You made a cameo for that.
And then the draft.
And at the birthday show. We had a big birthday show last year. You and Har.
Also, three times because I was on off. With you for the draft. Also,
that's right. You also popped on
because I got draft, to but... I got to meet Jerry.
You're the Jerry Sinclair. Not Jerry Sinclair. Jerry.
I'm trying to remember how
Jerry O'Shea. Yeah. I'm staring at Jerry Sinclair's team right now.
I'm thinking now. I'm playing, it's funny. You said Jerry Sinclair, and I went to Earl Sinclair. I'm singing the dinosaurs theme in my head.
I'm playing Jerry Sinclair of the Dynasty Warzone. In another league right now, and also I'm, a very I have good the matchup by the way. In front of me on the screen. Yeah. He's killing me, by the way.
Well, it's because you're bad at fantasy football, so it's understandable.
Hey, I'm 8-2 in this league. Actually, he's 9-1. It was like a powerhouse.
So he's better than you
this week. This week he is.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, I am your host, Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse. He is Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict, at Trade Addicts Pod, part of the DLF family of podcasts, at DAP_network. Subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Watch us while we record. Jump in the chat. Say some funny things. Make us laugh. Give us stuff to talk about. And maybe we won't do these ridiculous hour and 15 short shows. Also, there's the awesome GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club. I'm doing this out of order because I'm ready for bed. That stuff. FFPodShirts.StoreEnvy.com. Get shirts, stickers, mugs of all of the podcasts. All money goes to charity. That's the important part. You get awesome stuff. We're doing for the rest of the year Toys for Tots or Fantasy Cares, so there's going to be some awesome stuff going on with that money. So please, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, buy some awesome stuff, help us get presents for kids. And good night, everybody.
Good night. See ya.